Ms. Nilauna, what have you got with you? Just in time, by the way.
Yes, indeed. Just in time is the way to go, Derek. I have a lovely book here for you, and it's on Vom Vog Vor Vui Erstre in Irish and in English. And it's for children with lovely big pictures.
Oh, well, then, Cade Fui, Aina.
And you would be able to, even you, Derek, well, would be I don't able know. To follow this. You would, because it's a lovely book about the great yellow bumblebee, uh-huh. which is one of our rarest bumblebees. It has been produced by people in County Mayo over in Belmullet, where the bumblebee actually still lives. It's a stronghold for it on the Macairs there. Catherine Mangan and Margaret Tallett have actually written the book. Beautiful illustrations by Jean Beard. So the whole thing is great, and it's great to get a book like this because we have great concerns about this particular great yellow bumblebee. I was looking it up in the records of the National Biodiversity Centre, and it has greatly diminished and only occurs now on the Macairs of the West Coast and on the Esker Ridges in the Midlands. And this is very sad indeed for such a lovely, elegant, beautiful blonde bumblebee.
A blonde bumblebee. Are we going to talk to anyone?
Well, we could talk to the person who wrote the book. Wouldn't that be grand? Corrymage, Kainch Air, Margaret. Margaret, will to on shin?
Tommy and Shahina.
Could us talk to Margaret?
Oh, goodbye. Carmai good.
Tommy, a quaker, Jaron, Lara, Jas, Shaw on Vumbug, Vor, Vui, Erstre. And this is a lovely book that you have collaborated with Catherine Mangan to write to tell the story of the great yellow bumblebee.
Yes, Aina. It's a book that we've written as a consequence of the Great Yellow Bumblebee project that we've been involved in. Both myself and Catherine are members of Belmullet Tidy Towns. And we have been involved in a conservation project called the Great Yellow Bumblebee Conservation Project. It's been going on here since 2018 in Belmullet and on the Mullet Peninsula. And we've had a European Innovation Partnership project to conserve the Great Yellow Bumblebee, and that went really well. And as a consequence of that, we thought about writing a book for children. So it is a children's book, but however, we've written it in such a way that it would be likely to be read by parents or grandparents to children. And as you said, we've written it Gahanga. Belmullet, as you know, was in the Erisgaeltacht, and we've also interspersed it with lots of different facts about the Great Yellow Bumblebee that we think might be useful and helpful in getting the word out there and in telling people something about how they can help with the conservation work.
Yes, I was just in Belmullet Peninsula there over the Easter time. I was over at the Sullis Interpretative Centre and down at Blacksod and out on the Inishkee Islands. And of course, I was too early for the great bumblebee because she doesn't come out of hibernation until later on in the year. There isn't much point to come out in the middle of March or April when there's no flowers for her to actually use. And this, of course, point is made by yourself in the book that it starts off, she wakens up in a place far from home and now she's lost and she's trying to find her way back to the lovely Macairs, because that's the place where the flowers are. That's the place where the habitat is suitable for this great yellow bumblebee. And these kind of habitats are becoming more and more scarce all over the country. And therefore, it's really important that we know about it and that the way the management of the land happens there is suitable for the bumblebee and indeed for other creatures that like those Macair grasslands as well.
Yes, indeed, Aina. And as I said, in the conservation project that we had going here, that we still are involved in, we've done things like reduce grazing, we've engaged with farmers, we've engaged with the local community, and we've engaged with children in the schools. And we have had great success in bringing back lots of wildflower areas. And we've had a planting program where we collect the local seed and we plant yellow rattle seed in order to increase the abundance of flowers specifically for the great yellow bumblebee. But of course, it benefits other bees as well and other species. And in the book, I think you'll agree that Jean Beard has brought all of these things to life in her illustrations. She's done a mighty job altogether in terms of illustrating the story that we were trying to make. The Bumbug on Bumbug Bui Moor was prevalent throughout the entire country, and that's what kind of sparked the whole idea for the story. She was widespread throughout the country, and now, as you said, she's confined to areas on the West Coast. So that was where the story came from, that we thought she'd wake up away from the West Coast and she wouldn't be able to find the flowers that she needed. And then as she progressed towards the West Coast, she was able to find them. So that's what it was based on, really.
My association with Mac here in Belmullet goes back a long way, actually. I first encountered it in the 1970s, I have to say, when I was doing a project on the red-necked phalarope, which breeds there, the most southerly place in Europe that it does breed. And the Machair, of course, the word Machair is the Irish word Machara for a plain, and it's a flat sand dune, if you could imagine such a contrasting thing. But the wind is so strong from, I suppose, Galway north and up the coast of Scotland, those Gaeltacht areas, that the sand, instead of being able to build into dunes like it's able to do it everywhere else, it's blown so much that you have this the inrush of sand, you have the whole idea of all of that calcium, and yet it's flat. So therefore this calcium, this sand, this flatness, this fact that you're not up and down moving sand hills, gives you a different vegetation that you get nowhere else, only along this particular stretch of Northwest Ireland and Scotland. So Machair is the name that they used for it long ago, and Machair is the official scientific name for it. So there's an abundance of flowers. It doesn't start off too early. I mean, the flowers that I saw at Easter time were just a few dandelions and things. There wasn't the great bloom of flowers that you're going to get on those sand dunes, on those machairs later on in the summer, where the bumblebee will be able to go out and find lovely purple flowers, the red clover, which is actually purple, you know, and yellow rattle and other flowers that she's able to get the pollen and the nectar from. And it's such a wonderful habitat as this is what you're celebrating both in the book and the work that the farmers are doing under this new scheme to conserve it as well.
Yes, Aina, and I suppose in relation to the farmers, what we've worked with 27 farmers, and I suppose the fact that the great yellow bumblebee is still thriving in the Mullet, on the Mullet Peninsula and in that area, is kind of down to the practices, the farming practices that have prevailed in the area, whereby the animals were taken off the machair for the summer. So that allowed the flowers to grow, and they were only put back on because it was dry and sandy. They were put back in the winter time. So those sort of farming practices have allowed the flowers to come through and provide the forage for the great yellow bumblebee.
Now, you have a whole lot of facts about the yellow bumblebee in the book. Do you want to tell us some of them so everybody will know them, not just you and I that are looking at the book?
Yeah, well, as you said, Aina, the great yellow bumblebee doesn't emerge until later, usually around May time. The size of the nests of a great yellow bumblebee would be much, much smaller than honeybees, for example. So you might have a bumblebee nest that would be around 40 workers at any one time, whereas that would be compared to around 80,000 maybe in a honeybee colony. The worker bees, I suppose, typically fly around a radius of 1 kilometre to forage. So it's important that we have linking and that we have flowers continuously. So things like roadside verges can be really important when there's a shortage of flowers around, keeping linear areas. And farmers have been rewarded for doing all of that, as well as for not cutting until later in the season and leaving flowers to grow and maybe leaving verges. And again, the Mayo County Council have been very helpful with this project. They've been involved in it from the very beginning, and part of their work was to leave the roadside verges uncut until September in the areas that we're talking about on the Mullet Peninsula.
And you name the flowers that the bee likes the best. I said the red clover, but there are other ones. Can you name a few more? It's always nice to have the names.
Well, I suppose the red clover in particular, and then knapweed would be a very important one because it's later in the season, and that would give them sustenance for hibernation throughout the winter. So that's one that we're really keen. We also have, as I said, we've had a planting programme in operation for the yellow rattle, and that also, it cannibalises the grass and it allows more of the wildflowers that are there in the soil to come through. And you mentioned also the red-necked phalarope, and the red-necked phalarope also makes its way into the book. I don't know, did you see that in or not?
The red-necked fella up, they go to tea with the red-necked fella up on the last page. That's an amazing bird because, in fact, even though the female lays the eggs, she leaves daddy to do all the rearing of it. So, and the knapweed is an interesting one as well too, because that's the, in a Gaeltacht, the knapweed is the English name, but it actually comes from the Irish, which is unusual. And canapa is the Irish word, as you know, for a button. And the brown lump on the top of it's like an old wooden button people had long ago. So this is the buttonweed, the knapweed, and as you say, provides a lot of nectar and pollen later on in the season to stock up for the winter time. So it's a great project. It's a great book. And the whole book has a lovely tone of yellow all through it. So you know very well you're looking at something that's yellow, the bees, the walls, the whole vistas of the Macer, they're all there, and the lovely Irish in it as well. Er magushachts an arach I gnóthú gan aithne, tar éis culladh an gheabhar bhí mé caillte gan bhaú. So this is what it opens with. On waking one springtime in a place far from home, after sleeping through winter, I was lost and alone. And by the time they get to the last page, all of course is well. How happy I am to be back near this town, where flora and fauna and wildlife abound. Such gladness, such joy, an end to my quest. An apy in heaven, with fair at the best. Where would you get it, only in the Mullet Peninsula? Gurren Mila Maihag of Market.
Gurren Mila Dina.
The red-necked phalarope. What a great name for a bird. Niall, and a great book too.
It's an absolutely remarkable book. It's great to see focus on the great yellow bumblebee, but also one of my favourite creatures, the red-necked phalarope, which has been one of the core species at Birdwatch Ireland's reserves on the Mullet Peninsula. A really amazing little member of the wader family. And it's great to have this species that was previously bred in Ireland, was extinct for decades, and has now returned thanks to the conservation measures that benefit the phalarope, but also benefit the great yellow bumblebee, benefit the corncrake, another iconic bird of the region. The mullet really is a wildlife paradise, and it's home to some of the scarcest species in all of Ireland.
And another thing about mullet, we were over there at Easter, as I said, we were down on a boat to the Inishkey Islands with the safari people there, and they said that they had seen a basking shark the previous day. Now, the basking shark,
I've never seen one in the wild.
The basking shark come in to follow the plankton, and Michael was saying that he'd no normally get until the end of April, May, when the seas are warm enough for that. But of course, anytime I ever go to look for anything, it was there yesterday, it was there tomorrow, but it's never there on the day. And he sent me pictures afterwards of more of them that had come in when I wasn't there either. Grr.